When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
This is the Wrestling Inc. Hot Podcast talking about SmackDown Live. I'm Glenn Rubenstein, joined by Matt Morgan and Justin Labar. How's it going, guys?
Meh.
Hey, Justin liked tonight's show.
Really?
I liked it better than last week's highly touted show from MSG.
It wasn't highly touted?
Last week's was.
Oh. It wasn't MSG. Highly touted on tout. That's the question.
I don't know. I mean, I didn't hate. Again, I think tonight was better than last week. So
I didn't like it.
Started hot. Had Brock Lesnar show up. Kofi Kingston was down in the ring with the New Day, cutting a promo. It was a good surprise, I thought.
You got, no, it's not, because you guys predicted that Brock Lesnar would beat Kofi for the title and go to Fox.
Well, what they're doing is interesting with this. So we did get a match at the beginning with the New Day versus the Revival and Randy Orton. I was afraid that this was going to set up 3-on-3 Hell in a Cell. We talked about this. Maybe they'll do a winner-take-all situation at the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view. I liked that Brock Lesnar's music hit. Everyone else got out of there, and it was just Brock and Kofi, and Brock saying, hey, first night on Fox, or Paul Heyman, rather, saying, first night on Fox, October 4th, I'm challenging you for the WWE World Heavyweight title.
Why? Why do you just get to show up on this show, and why do you get to just randomly challenge a heavyweight championship, a heavyweight champion, and cut the line? Why?
Yeah, he should have never he should still have the Money in the Bank briefcase. He should have disappeared for a few months, made everybody forget about that, and then popped up. I don't this makes me all the more befuddled as to why he used the briefcase when he did, got the title, and then lost it right back to Seth Rollins.
Yeah. I mean, and again, what I'm more fearful of, here's a big move to Fox. Brock Lesnar, former UFC champion, needs to, Glenn's not going to concentrate on any ounce of what we say, just for the record, because he's going to be playing with the damn screen the whole time.
But, this is new.
But it is new. But really quick, and Brock's not going to appear. He's not going to appear. They're going to shoot themselves in their damn foot with it. Well, because having Brock Lesnar show up to the front, what do you call it, for the TV each year, to each TV show, what do you call them, the front row, what do they call
up fronts.
Up front, front rows, Jesus, Christmas. Anyways, it's great. You don't need him to be the champion to do that. He's under contract, and you just pay him extra money to do that. Do you see what I'm saying? Like him bastardizing that championship and hiding it and playing, you know, hide and go seek with it for 3 months from TV is not going to help them. And he will win the championship. Mark my words. He will win the championship on that show. They're going to think that's what they need to do.
Well, he's going to look to your point, Matt, you know, obviously his track record is, you know, he has the title and you know, yeah, he disappears a time, but I think it's also worth considering here. You know, this is a new playground in Fox, and you know, if they, I don't know if they help, I don't know what they do, but if they help convince Vince that they want to see Brock Lesnar X amount of times, they want to see him, you know, look, we're already getting Brock competing in a match on SmackDown for the first time in 15 years. Fox is pot committed, so you got to go in and get Brock Lesnar when you want him.
Ugh. Ugh. Didn't this stupid word die a slow death the other night?
Did not.
Apparently not.
I've been on social media all day. It's not dead.
It's hashtag trending worldwide. Pod committed.
Poker, not the plant, by the way.
Yeah. So, Matt, to counter your point, we had this opening match tonight, the New Day versus the Revival and the RK with Randy Orton. And it was a good match. It was fine. We saw these guys on Sunday take each other on. They've been battling in various configurations. When Brock Lesnar came out there, how much energy, how much excitement? I mean, I was ready to shut off SmackDown after that first six-man tag.
Why?
Because we've seen it. We've seen it so many times.
Oh, I mean, I know what you mean. I thought because of Brock Lesnar, you said. All right. Yeah. At the end of the day, he does absolutely nothing. And I can't believe I'm saying this. I never thought I'd say these words, honestly, or that sentence. I don't think he helps them. I mean, I know it sounds absurd. It sounds crazy. We're going to Fox with real sports games going on, right? Athletic fans are actually watching this network now. You think you want Brock Lesnar out front? You would. And I get why people would think that. Logically, that makes sense. What's not logically making sense is the fact that he still will not show up but once every 3 months.
He's been gone so long, he had a reasonable length beard tonight. And significantly longer hair.
Whoopee-doo.
I'm just saying, like, that's a while to be gone. Hopefully, if they're going to put the belt on him again, we get him on weekly TV. I mean, I don't know.
That's different.
But, well, no, okay.
Weekly TV or every 2 weeks, fine.
Yeah, you don't need to see him every week. But they need to see him. You need to see him more than what he has in past. You don't need to see him every week, though. But again, if he's on Fox, they might ask to see him more. And you might get him defending a little bit more frequent. I mean, I think, Matt, I think it is a big deal, the fact that he's going to have a match on the first SmackDown. This to me, this is an attraction. And obviously it goes –
It is an attraction. The outcome after – listen, and then there's an old saying, and then the bell rings. What that means is a guy comes out, looks like $1 million, looks like Bill Goldberg, snorting friggin' thunder and crapping lightning on his entrance on the way out, looks like a god. And then the bell rings, and it's wah. Nobody gives a bleep. And that is my fear after this great match with Brock Lesnar and Kofi Kingston, and he becomes the champion, everyone goes home happy, and then there's the next week, and then the next week, and then the next week. And it's Paul Heyman cutting boring promo after boring promo after boring promo, regurgitate, and boringness will ensue. I don't care. There's nothing new that Brock's going to give me. And more importantly, he's not going to show up.
I'll wait until after they do the draft. Right after that, after they do the draft, if I see who moves over and who could be a possible Brock contender, then I might agree with you. But let's say if they move a Braun Strowman over
and he beats him.
Yes. So that's let great. Me. So you have a point. Great. You have a point. But let me see what happens with the draft, because again, we cannot forget there's $1 billion invested in this. So I can't imagine Fox is going to allow Brock to just disappear for 3 months.
I would hope not. Let me ask you a question though. Go back to Attitude Era. Big move over when SmackDown originated. What was the first network? Was WWR or Channel 9? What was
UPN.
UPN. UPN 9. Okay. Do you really think back then the network told them what to do?
The network did?
UPN didn't have juice back then.
I'll do you one better.
And UPN okay,
I get you. You're going to say, no, they didn't. All right. Let me finish then. I get it. USA. Do you really think Vince McMahon gave two bleeps about what USA told them who to book? No, he goes, Stone Cold's hot. Rock is hot. Triple H is hot. Mick Foley is hot. We're good. We know what we're doing. And guess what? Nobody bothered him because they were getting the ratings. When will they go back to not being complete you-know-whats when it comes to networks telling them what to do?
Well,
probably when the ratings have an upward swing and they have the defense to say, hey, exec, stay out of here. We know what we're doing. Right. Look at the rise. But right now, they're not. So right now, they signed They got Fox to sign a $1 billion deal, and since then the ratings continue to decline. So it's almost like they have to listen to Fox a little bit.
They've never been on Fox yet, number one. And two, what about the fact that you think other shows get this? Do you think Seinfeld, if there was a dip in ratings, which I highly doubt because it's the greatest show ever, but if there was a dip, do you think Jerry's getting called by them saying, hey, I think you need more of the soup Nazi guy? No.
I don't know about Seinfeld, but execs get involved all the time in trying to put their hand on things.
Happens to the music industry. Mariah Carey signed one of the biggest recording deals ever, and her album didn't do so hot, the soundtrack to Glitter. It was cheaper for Virgin just buy her out of her contract rather than keep paying her for
it. Dude, and the elbow connected to the ankle bone. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about TV.
Okay. It happens.
When have the network with sports? Or, I can't say sports.
Well, the wild card rule is because of USA Network, and we all saw how much.
I know you're missing my point. Why are they listening? They don't run a wrestling company.
Yeah, Conan O'Brien was on a month-to-month contract.
Where's the pride in saying, "Look, we run our show. We like our relationship with you. Slow your roll. We've got it. We know what we're doing. We're doing this a few times now," and have that pride, because what it does, guys, is it cuts the legs off of future talents that may have got an opportunity if WWE stuck with them versus getting all scaredy cats about it because the network said something to them.
Yeah.
But Matt, you say that's what WWE should say. And then USA comes back and says, well, your ratings keep going down, so we want you to take a suggestion. The ratings need to get better. And then WWE can completely.
Definitely the ratings need to get better to have a little bit more balls behind your base and your voice when you say this to them. No question. I agree.
Yes.
And just recently, speaking of Conan O'Brien, he had the Tonight Show, the ratings dipped. NBC said, we're going to put up the Tonight Show on. We're going to give Jay Leno 11:30. We're going to put the Tonight Show on at midnight because your ratings aren't improving. TV does weird stuff, man. I mean, think about when we were kids. Remember when you really like a show and then we get moved to Saturday nights, which was like the death spot?
Yeah.
And was canceled soon after. Like, TV is a very petty business, very based on ratings points. So I think Fox has a lot riding on this.
They do, but wrestling to me is such a – maybe because I was a wrestler. I don't know, but it's such a different genre to itself. These execs don't have prior business doing this. They do have prior history of business doing other talk shows and telling other talk show hosts or watching the ratings with talk shows specifically or sitcoms or comedies or dramas. They don't jack bleep about pro wrestling. If I'm doing business with Vince McMahon and his family, I'm saying, you guys got this. We're staying out of your hair. Don't make us look bad.
Yeah. Back in the 80s, how involved was Dick Ebersol in the WWF stuff on NBC?
Yeah. Yes. No, that's actually a good example. Actually, you say that with Hulk Hogan. He was up Hulk Hogan's you know what. He wanted Hogan on everything.
Yeah. I mean,
wasn't Ebersol one of the driving forces as to why on Saturday Night's main event they put the main event first because they wanted main event as the first match, and then things would kind of decline down the card. Wasn't Dick Ebersol like a big?
They do that every week though,
for Saturday Night's main event on NBC back in the day.
I don't remember.
The main event matches would be like right up front.
Well, because that was also at 11:30 at night when it was replacing SNL. So I mean, anyone that was staying up late.
Would you guys be when you set your DVR or your VCRs and you wake up Sunday morning and Saturday Night Live music hit instead? I'd be like, what? How did I get this wrong? And I'd be screaming at my brother. And
I was a big SNL mark as a kid.
I learned who the Warthog was via doing that as an old bear on SNL when we were little.
Oh, man. So tonight, yeah.
Rob, I discovered my first porn. How about that? Let's talk about that. Matt Morgan discovered his very first porn, taking his brother's VHS tapes, not knowing which one was which, and putting it in there, learning how to set the timer from Saturday Night's main event, and boom.
Cue the Blue Chew ads.
Seriously, I'm dead serious.
Guys, you remember what that was like when you discovered your first pornography. Maybe it was an unlabeled tape in a VCR. Maybe it was porn in the woods. Go to old-fashioned American pornography someone discarded in a tree-shaded area that you found and had an awakening. Chances are you haven't felt that awakening, 10 years, 20 years, perhaps even 30 years. It has been that long. The good news is Blue Chew can bring that back. It can bring it all back. And it can be better than it ever has been before. Blue Chew brings you the first FDA-approved, the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. The stuff that works, the science, the hardcore, engineered, made in a lab, put together, put to the test to make sure that this is going to have you ready to go. And quite frankly, go time can be any time. You've heard us talk about it here because it's chewable. It acts faster than a pill. Start chewing one, 10 minutes, 20 minutes later, you are ready to go, ready to get down to business. And, not to cast aspersions, but Raj Geary, he got a shipment and he's been missing a lot of podcasts this week. You do the math. You've heard Matt talk about it. You've heard me talk about it. Justin, you tried the Blue Chew yet?
I have not. I'm Blue Chewless.
Justin is more uncomfortable than Raj when it comes to Blue Chew.
And that's saying something.
It is saying something.
I'm also the youngest out of all of you guys. Booyah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you look the oldest.
Oh, screw you. 31.
Jeez, Glenn. How do you really feel? Good Lord. Stiff shots here.
Speaking of stiff shots.
Get it.
Easy.
You can try Blue Chew for free. Just pay $5 shipping. When you go to bluechew.com, use the promo code WINC to try it free. You're going to love it. It's made in the USA. Faster, cheaper than a pharmacy. Shipped straight to your door in a discreet package. No in-person's doctor's visit. No waiting in the pharmacy. No awkwardness. Blue Chew is where it's at. You've seen all the positive reviews online, all the people talking about that love it, that live by it. It's reinvigorated love lives, reinvigorated relationships.
Glenn, how much cheaper is it than the pharmaceutical version?
I remember when I was getting through a pharmacy, when I was on medication that was interfering with the schvance, as it were. Yeah. I remember I was paying like maybe $5 a pill, I want to say. And Kaiser was putting a limit. They were saying you get 3 pills a month. And I was like, I'm a young man. What? I have a relationship. I have things to do, literally. And I need some help where it counts. Great thing about Blue Chew is if you're having performance issues, even if you just need some extra confidence, Blue Chew is going to make it happen. And when you get that sample, you pay $5 shipping for that. But the sample itself is free. You're going to get this pouch. Pouch comes with like 4 or 5 chewables right there in the pouch. Some people like to take half at a time. Some people like to take a whole one at a time, depending on, you know, maybe how much of a boost you want to give yourself that evening. But highly recommend it. It's a great deal. And
you take more than one?
I've never taken more than one. I'm afraid what would happen there. I'm afraid I might spout a second schvance if I were to take more than one Blue Chew.
No. And also like heart rate, I would imagine, something like that. I'm sure there's a reason why.
Which is crazy. I mean, that's how the Viagra was originally discovered. They were experimenting with blood medications to lower your blood pressure and realized like, hey, all the blood is rushing to one very, very specific area.
That's a fun fact I didn't know.
Here's a better fun fact, and Glenn already knows this, so does Raj, ad nauseum on this one, but it also was put out there, you could, bodybuilders take half a dose before they get on stage. They get their pump on before their competition, bodybuilding competitions, a lot of them, not all, and they'll take a quarter of one, maybe half at most, and they'll pump up their arms or whatever body part that they really want to shine up there on stage, and it actually does enhance. All the blood goes to that one muscle. It really does. It's trained to do that. This drug.
So take it from Matt Morgan. They don't call him the mayor of Longwood for nothing. Get your pump on. Go to bluechew.com. Use promo code WINC. Try it free. And we thank them for sponsoring the Wrestling Inc. podcast. Remember what wrestling podcasts were like before Blue Chew? Such tame endeavors.
Soft.
Yes.
S-A-W-F-T, as it's spelled. I hear.
Oh. So tonight, what else did we get? We had other matches. Other things happened. Saw what happened with Harper during a Clash of the Champions. Like that they're treating that like a big deal. Rowan did this interview segment saying he's not a follower, he's a leader.
This here's one thing, and I'm nitpicking, but if you actually pay attention, and it caught me, if you watch this 3.5-minute pre-tape, it was pre-tape money, so they could have reshot it a couple of times. He starts three of his answers to Michael Cole as, "You see, Michael, you see, it's just like that. You see it. That's like a dead giveaway of what I think is uncomfortableness."
Yes, it is.
And I was baffled by this, and I don't want to pick on the guy because but
you want to see him do good, right?
Yeah. I want to see him do good, but I would understand it if he's out live in the ring and it is what it is. But the fact it was a pre-tape, I can't believe whoever
caught it.
Yeah, the producer, it. Michael Cole. Nobody said, "All right, we got to reshoot at least two of these answers so you don't say that." I don't know that bothered me.
That's a really good catch. We all have it when we first started in our promos, and I'll tell you right now, you'll see even The Rock do this, and millions of others before us do this, and it's. But the fact of the matter, every wrestler says that. Go back and watch, and that's their maybe not uncomfortableness. It's their transition words that they use so they could cook up what they're going next, what they're going to say next, or get back on track on what they want to go to next. It's always, but the fact of the matter is, think about anywhere else, dude. Do you see anybody else to use those words?
No,
it's always wrestlers.
Yeah. Nobody in your real life says that to
you. No.
Did you see, speaking of which, your promos, the one making the rounds on Twitter the other day that Bailey superfan Izzy cut in the promotion she's working right now?
No.
How old is she now?
I have no idea. Maybe 11, maybe 12. I don't know, but you need to seek this out and find it. And here's
there's
the reason 11-year-old
why. Girl wrestling.
There was controversy when I think she took a bump or a move a little while ago. But the promo, I was so impressed. Not a single crutch word in the entire thing. No. I mean, seriously, she could. I was watching this. Not only is this a better promo than most of the ones we're seeing from people on the main roster, I mean, but this kid. She's, I mean, if she sticks with this, she's going to be incredible. She's going to be amazing. And that's why when we see stuff tonight, like with Rowan, where, guys, this was taped. You didn't need to do this all in one take. You had the power of editing. You had the power of multiple takes at your disposal. Yeah, and a kid is out there just cutting this world beater promo. It's shocking to me that the WWE isn't working their talent harder since being able to talk such a big part of this business.
Especially when he's in such a big angle for him. Like, this is huge for him, this opportunity.
Huge.
It's huge for them. They don't have, you said the other night, they have Braun Strowman growing on trees, but homeboy here is pretty darn close.
Yeah.
And even more reason. Like, I'm telling you right now, and I'm not just saying this, put myself over, but like I told you guys this, every pre-tape I did, Vince was on the other side of that camera. He didn't do that with everybody. He did it with bigger guys that he wanted to work with because he was so desperate to get another big guy over eventually, right? So that attention to detail, he'd have me look. He'd hold his finger and point toward a direction that I have to, like, sit there like, the guy's right here interviewing me. You can't see. The guy's, like, right here next to me interviewing me. This camera sucks. Anyways, he's right next to me interviewing me, holding the microphone up to me. This triple camera is killing me, Glenn. Can you get me off it? Thank you. Homeboy is interviewing me. Pretend he's the water bottle, okay?
Yeah.
Where we at? There we go. Holding the microphone. I'm standing up above him looking like 8 foot tall Goliath, right? And he's holding the microphone up to me from this angle, right? I'm way up here. But my point is, Vince has me like looking off, like pondering off into like the sunset somewhere, not looking to the guy who's interviewing me and asking me questions. I still never understood why. All right, but he had so much attention to detail and making me do like these things I normally would not do in real life. But he was so invested in it, was my point. And we did it like 1,000 times, and I could talk. You know what I mean? I'm putting myself over, but I can't. I could talk circles around those big guys. We did like 40 takes, you know what I mean? We would keep doing them and doing them and doing them and doing them. And for them to have this guy in this huge, huge main event storyline, because it is a main event storyline. Anytime you're included in an angle with Roman Reigns, obviously, how do you not do this again with him?
Yeah.
How do you not stop him? You guys caught that, which is a great catch again, I'll repeat. How many other people caught it? How many other people saw the uncomfortableness in his promo? And how do they just let it slide? How is that okay? I'm being dead serious. I don't ever want to see somebody lose their job, writers, wrestlers, janitor, I don't care who, with that company. But by the same token, how do you not look at your writers here or whoever was producing these segments and say, come on? Well, like, seriously.
And to that point, Matt, I don't know tonight. I know last night at Raw, Vince was not there. That's what got out. I don't know if he was there at SmackDown tonight, but, you know, Vince said in one of the recent stockholder meetings how, when talking about how why he hired Heyman and Bischoff to be overall directors of the brand, of the respective brands, the quote that kept making the rounds is Vince said, this will allow him not to be in the weeds as much. And what I wonder is this might be a result. You know, we are very critical of Vince a lot these days, and I think rightfully so in a lot of ways. But this is a point to say that Vince's attention to detail to all the stuff you're talking about, Matt, if he was there on site, which maybe he wasn't for this, obviously, but if he was, he probably would have called something like this and said, this is unacceptable for, as you said, a main event angle. We need to reshoot this. So, you know, and this also does not help the argument that fans and talent always make of let the talents be more free, don't script them. Because obviously if they let Rowan go on bullet points, this is what we got.
Yeah, you know, here's the problem. When you do give scripts, you do find yourself saying the fact of the matter is, or, well, you want to know something, or, you know.
Let me tell you this, or.
Yeah, use those transition words because you're trying to get yourself back on track of memorizing what you're supposed to be saying. And true, true. Right? Yeah. If you're comfortable, you have nothing to lose. You're not overly thinking anything. There are no transition words because you're just talking.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I don't know, man. I feel bad for him. That's not his fault.
It's tough. He's in this situation now. It's a great opportunity for him. I love the end segment. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But this interview, I think, slowed his momentum as far as character goes and really defining who he is and what his perspective is.
Scared the crap on it because I don't want to see other fans then follow suit and give up on it and then start crapping on it everywhere at WWE, then sees it on social media and go, oh, we tried. Sorry, Eric. You know? Sometimes, well, I know it's not honest of me, but I feel like sometimes I need, from my angle, I'll feel better about it that I didn't do it, because I remember being that talent and have people crap on things that I would do. And it was like, I didn't even really get a chance out of here. And the people that listen to me, the Debbie Downers of the WWE, the boobers of WWE that may not have liked Matt Morgan personally or whatever, they'd be able to go, well, Vince, look, you know, and see Dave Meltzer, whomever, crapping on me. And that gives them legitimacy to Vince. Well, we did try. Okay, fine.
Well, I'll say this. For any shortcomings that Eric Rowan might have had verbally that we're talking about here, and we'll get to it later on, I did think he redeemed himself physically with bringing the physical in that final segment. So,
yeah. Flip side of the equation is this was followed by Ali versus Shinsuke Nakamura with Sami Zayn. Ali has cut nothing but amazing promos. And what's that getting him?
I agree with you.
You know?
I got nothing for that one. I got nothing. I don't know. It felt like they were behind him and being pleasantly surprised, like we all were, with his promos. And then they stopped, if you remember. They kind of just stopped.
Yeah. I would argue, correct me if I'm wrong on this, but with the exception of maybe Enzo, I'm trying to think of someone that's gotten over and gotten a pass just based on their promos. Meaning that what I'm saying is Ali can go out there and talk and make you believe it, but at the same time, if you don't have the look, if you don't make Vince laugh,
I mean, Leo Rush wasn't wrestling, and they put Leo Rush right with a big guy, a big player in Bobby Lashley, and just had him talk. I mean,
yeah,
they gave him a live mic during matches, which that's an ultimate bit of trust.
Which tells you something about that sort of personality. It seems like creative Vince people are impressed by people like that who are that outgoing, willing to just, you know, say what's on their mind, but it bites them in the ass and it gets them heat and friction with the power to be with the guys backstage.
And back in the day, that would not be a problem. Back in the day, it was, sorry that you think he's cocky and arrogant. Step your game up if you don't like it. You know what I mean? Like, what's the thing we used to hear? That Triple H used to run down Rock in promos until eventually Rock stopped, asked him for permission to fire back. And then when he started firing back, he had a freaking grenade rocket launcher in retaliation. It just would own Hunter. But if you remember, you go back and watch, Hunter would really try to jabron him and talk how he can't wrestle. Come on, superstar. And totally try to chump him. And he used to think he was getting over on him. I just really recently watched something. I was like, did Hunter really think he's getting over on Rock? And I was like, oh, that's right. That's back when Rock was still asking for forgiveness. Or not asking for forgiveness yet after his promos. He's still Rocky Maivia, his intercontinental level matches they were having at the time. But then he went to, you've heard Bruce Pritchard tell this story, I'm sure. How eventually he said, all right, F it, I'm going out there and I got to go sing for my soup. And I'm letting it fly. And Bruce was like, you get in trouble, you get in trouble. If you don't, at least you're fighting back and not getting eaten alive out there.
Yeah.
And The Rock, you know, started becoming more and more The Rock.
So this match didn't happen with Shinsuke and Ali. Instead, Sammy came out, was hyping up
Shinsuke. I was excited for this match.
Oh, absolutely. They ended up double teaming Ali, beating him up. And then we saw Kevin Owens walking through the crowd after the match didn't start. Kevin took a seat. Shane was watching backstage. Shane was served with papers and came out holding those papers to announce that Kevin Owens is trying to file the biggest wrongful termination lawsuit ever. I think, what was it, $25 million against Shane McMahon and WWE.
First off, the problem I had just on the Kevin Owens entrance through the crowd, nothing can kill the wrestler ball to ticket is coming in unannounced more than having the freaking security standing right next to him as he's walking through the crowd. All right? This is a guy who walks around with a shirt that says, Fight Owens, Fight. I think you can let him be unescorted to his lower bowl seat if for just a moment if we're going to try to sell this thing that he got fired a week ago. Yeah. And that drives me nuts. That drove me nuts when they showed
it. It also makes him look like a wuss for suing. Even though he, in real life, let's say if this happened, this happens sometimes where people really legit have a bone to pick with a company that wrongfully fired them. Let's be honest, that's true. But for some reason, in the world of wrestling, and with a babyface who's supposed to be a badass, for my viewing pleasure, whatever you want to call it, my fandom of watching a show, it makes me think he's a wimp for doing that for some reason. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, you realize how many lawsuits Stone Cold left on the table with Vince? I mean, he could have. I mean, that wouldn't be the rattlesnake's way to get
no way
lawsuit. What are you talking
Rock
about?
Wouldn't do it. I mean, yeah. So many people. Hulk Hogan wouldn't. No, so many people wouldn't do it.
Yeah. But the end to this promo was Kevin saying, well, if I win this lawsuit, I'm going to come back here and I'm going to tell you that you're fired and yada, yada, yada. I mean, no stipulation. No, if I defeat so-and-so at Hell in the Cell.
Closing the doors to WWE, I was hoping he'd say. Or something yeah, crazy something like that. I'm selling the company.
I'm selling it to AEW.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something crazy like that.
So I guess they're going to keep this going. David Otunga was chiming in on Twitter saying he thinks Owens has a case.
Sure.
Thank you for that totally irrelevant piece of information, Glenn.
Otunga's an attorney, Harvard educated. I'm sure they'll bring him back for a segment with this at some point. I don't know. Owens showing up on NXT tomorrow night on USA.
I thought so before tonight. This kind of throws me off a little bit, which maybe that's the idea.
What?
Conventional wisdom.
That was the conventional wisdom is that when Owens got fired last week, obviously by Shane. Was that perhaps he would go back? He would be somebody who would help NXT as NXT moves to Florida USA Live.
Okay, yeah.
Which I thought, I kind of thought that, you know, prior to tonight. Which maybe it still happens, and maybe tonight kind of throws it off. Maybe it's just a short. I don't know, but I was surprised to see him there tonight.
Yeah. After that, Charlotte Flair versus Sasha Banks. We've seen this match before. We saw it again tonight. They did not refer to Sasha as the blueprint of the women's division tonight. So maybe they're backing off, Matt.
I highly doubt it. What did you think of the match, though?
It was comfortable. Like, very familiar, but not in a bad way.
She's been ballparking, let's just be real, the last two matches he's had.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this felt good tonight seeing them in the ring.
I dug it. I liked it.
Bailey was at ringside. Almost looked like Bailey was going to tag in at one point, even though it was a one-on-one match.
I'm still trying to get used to Charlotte as the face, and
has she been full face though?
Well, she worked like a face tonight in terms.
I mean, she did.
So I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
Have I missed any like online promos? Because sometimes I do online promos that you miss. Obviously, has there been any babyface promos from her yet?
No, it's been sort of being a good friend. I believe in what I'm doing. She's not, there's no turn, but it's not, I don't know. Just waiting for this to kick it up a notch. But
I'm not trying to say this to disrespect the other ones, the other girls in this division, but Charlotte is so much better. In my opinion, the all around package, I'm saying the complete package from look to size, to athleticism, to she uses the high spot, in my opinion, to the best of her ability at the right time of all of her matches. She just doesn't do things for the sake of doing them. She builds to everything, even with her moonsault to everything. It always is at the right time of the match. She gets you crescendoing, 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 crescendoing to finally she hits that high note. Every match she does that. She does it really well.
Offset, the rapper from Atlanta introduced Charlotte tonight. That's what I said. I feel like I should mention it because people in the chat are mentioning it. I don't know who Offset is. Justin?
People in the chat, you guys knew who that was? Where's our chat comments tonight? Raj had those things up.
I am not pot committed to Offset.
I never heard of Offset.
Oh, he was one of the rappers on that Ric Flair drip song, which I've never heard, but I know of. Oh, yes, well, there you go. We all sound so
why did they show Flair backstage with Charlotte? But I'm surprised he didn't come out then.
Yeah,
like with Charlotte to have the interaction with Offset. I don't know.
I think things are probably still pretty tense, given Rick trademarking the man.
Yeah,
Rick
but doing the Jericho groove. Well, so they showed him in the backstage, and him and Charlotte did a Q&A that was sponsored by WWE today with Cricket. So like he can't be in that. I mean, he's still doing business with him. He can't be that big of a deal.
Yeah, I don't know. Bailey did interfere tonight, causing a DQ. And then Carmella shows up out of nowhere as Banks and Bailey are trying to double team Charlotte Flair. Carmella attacks both of them and is standing in the ring with Charlotte as Charlotte's music hit.
I dug this so much, actually. For me, this was a high point. I'm being honest, a high point of the show for me, because she is so damn talented. She is so darn good, Carmella. And they're finally putting her in the mix with them. Before, you know what I'm saying? Before, she was kind of like, she's not one of the four horsewomen, right? Yeah. Those four are so established as the it of that women's division, right? And Carmella was kind of always the next tier down, if you will.
Yeah, her and Alexa.
Yeah, except Alexa would get her own shine in her own limelight many, many, many times with championship runs galore, you know, and tons of TV time. Carmella was just following truth around lately, you know, being piggybacked around arenas and stuff. She's so much better than that. She's improved immensely. She changes her look, it seems, all the time. Every time I'm on Twitter and Instagram, I'm like, that's her? What the hell did she do? She doesn't even look like her. Like, yeah. I swear to God, every month I feel like I say that.
No, she's gotten so many different things over, right? I mean, it's kind of insane. Man.
Yeah, and that's cool to see a different, you know, different blood in that angle, you know, in that main event angle with them. I don't know.
So we'll see if they stick with it, or was this just a placeholder? Because as someone in the chat pointed out, Becky was speaking at a conference in New York tonight.
Well, did you think Carmella got over tonight?
I don't know. I mean, I could very well see them forgetting about her involvement next week, and it's back to Becky and Charlotte versus Bayley and Sasha.
Okay, which I get.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe make it sick. I don't know.
I stopped paying attention to pop culture like 2014. So 15 years – or 2004, pardon me. So 15 years now. I selectively – do you guys listen to current music ever?
Who are you talking to, me?
Yeah.
Depends on the genre.
Like how? Nobody listens to radio anymore.
It's true. I someone's mentioning like Cardi B. I guess Offset's married to Cardi B. I tried that. I've never felt older in my life.
That's my reaction to Cardi B.
I've never felt older. Like I listened to Nicki Minaj when she came out. And I was like, oh, this is good. Yeah. I like this. This is the style of hip hop I like.
Didn't she just retire?
Yes.
Did she?
Yes. She said she did.
I have no clue.
Another reason to Cardi B. She has beef with she had beef with her. How about that?
I love that this is what you keep up on, you know?
Cardi B and Nicki Minaj, old school beef, yeah.
Oh no, I'm still Googling. I'm like, when did UTFO make up with Roxanne Shanté over the whole Roxanne Wars? Like I reread articles that I've read. I've read articles about LL Cool J versus cannabis, like the same article I read every few years.
That was a big beef.
It was huge.
Speaking of music, I popped huge. This is a little bit further up in the show, but it's relevant now. When they did the promo, when they did a promo package for and said Brock and Kofi on the SmackDown on Fox show the graphic, they used AC/DC. Shoot is my favorite rock band of all time, and one of my favorite songs is "Are You Ready" off the Razor's Edge album, which is not, you know, you don't hear it that often. They haven't played it in concert since the '80s for that tour, and they used that song for this SmackDown on Fox. I popped huge. I tweeted about it. For those who know, I'm a huge AC/DC mark. That was my world coming together of pop culture and wrestling and love. Yeah.
And it's impressive when they use an act of that caliber. I mean, no offense to Papa Roach.
Well, AC/DC is Vince's favorite band, I believe, is what I've always heard. That, like, from those who know Vince, I've always heard like that's like, you know, that's his workout playlist. That's, I mean, they've used AC/DC before, obviously Highway to Hell for SummerSlam in 98.
Still the best video package of all time, in my opinion. Stone Cold versus Undertaker, right?
Mr. Mayor, you are correct.
Awesome.
So we got the coronation tonight of Baron Corbin. King of the Ring came out. The ring was set up. He got the cape. He got a scepter. He got his crown.
And he was loving all of this, by the way. Until.
Yeah. Then he called out Chad Gable, made a lot of short jokes at his expense, and Shorty G just couldn't take it anymore. Started beating up Baron, smashed the throne, smashed the scepter over Baron, and stomped on the crown.
Yeah. And on the fly, did you watch Corbin? Again, attention to detail. There's no way in hell they practiced him kicking that crown perfectly.
Right at his feet, yeah.
Right? Did you notice, though, Corbin bending over and totally continue to sell the crown? Like, oh my God, how could this happen? How could you do it? Like, just a foot away from the crown. Like, that attention to detail, dude, that takes years. That sounds easy. That's on the fly thinking, man. He's so in his own, man. Poor Shorty G, somebody wrote, Tyrant Justice wrote. All I know is this. I was really excited for the coronation of him. But to see what he's going to do with this, and it's cool because they're getting Shorty G, whatever his name is, over. Yes, he did, Chris Mullin. He looked like a legit star. But did you hear the reaction to when he jumped him at first? There wasn't much of a reaction. If,
yeah.
Listen, go back and watch it again. There was not a legit big reaction until he started to threaten he was going to stomp on the crown itself. The crowd wasn't going crazy for him getting his butt kicked. And I don't blame Corbin for that because Corbin has mega heat.
Yeah.
It's that nobody cares about what's his name.
I think it was a mistake tonight. I liked the segment and how it turned out, but I thought at first it was a mistake to make it so much about Chad Gable with Corbin. I thought Corbin could have done a lot more.
He could have showed his hat in the night, man. Just give him the night. Give him that moment. He could have done – he just becomes a bigger jerk, you know?
Yeah. So we'll see where they go with this.
Wait, somebody just called Chad Gable Bud Bundy.
Grandmaster B.
Yeah.
He looked
so short compared to Corbin tonight. So much so at first, I was afraid they were going to bring out a little person originally because that seemed like that would have been the joke.
I get they did the connection of he's one of us. That was the whole point of, you know. It does not help him. That did not help him. He looked like he was 3 feet shorter than him. He looked like his son out there. That's how young he looks.
Yeah.
And this guy is a legit badass. Like, he probably 90% of the locker room he could put on the back of their heads.
Yeah.
In like the blink of an eye. So why put him in the – you would never do that with Kurt Angle.
Hmm.
They would never have done that with him. They goofed around with him, and Kurt was a great goof. He was a great – he had great comedic timing, you know. But it was always Jim Ross saying, once that bell sounds, you're in trouble. You're in there with Olympic gold medalists. Knuckle up, you know, whatever he'd say. And make him back to Seriousville again. They're all making jokes and stuff, you know. I don't know.
I think that says it all. We know Grandmaster B, but not Offset. That's where our knowledge is.
Grandmaster B, you want to talk about pop culture icons and pop culture in general? Yes, Married with Children, which was a zillion years ahead of its time, especially as far as what you could say on TV and matters, things like that goes. Yes. And Bud Bundy was a major part of that show, so gotcha.
Love and marriage. Go together like a horse and a carriage.
We don't get to hear this. Copyright strike.
So we'll see. This feud's just warming up, it seems like, between these two. Heavy Machinery versus the B Team.
I thought Heavy Machinery was a Billy Gunn, didn't you?
I mean, but it's the B Team, dude. And this was like a semi-competitive match.
Wait, what was your complaint, Matt?
I thought Heavy Machinery looked pretty good.
Yeah, they did. I mean, they have great momentum right now, and the crowd is getting behind Otis, and then now they've extended to having Otis just show more of his body without, you know, rather than even building to the Jerry Lawler strap down, he's just pulling the wardrobe off before the match, and people are getting into him shaking and dancing, his own version of hulking up. I mean, he's getting over with just simple jiggles.
Yeah. I mean, he is. He can't deny that.
So they won the match tonight. Where do they go from here? Are they going to challenge the revival?
They're there for comedy act.
Yeah. Authors of Pain, they reshowed that vignette tonight.
I like it.
I think it's a good direction for them.
Yeah, obviously I wasn't on last night. I when I saw it last night on Raw, I think I'm fine with them abandoning the SWAT gear kind of stuff and then being kind of like more sociopaths and in a suit. I like the whole hitman kind of mob vibe they have and speaking another language. I think it's a worthwhile repackaging.
Yeah.
Daniel Bryan came out in the main event tonight. Mm-hmm. He's full babyface turn is happening, is underway at this point, if not already completed. Giving that speech.
There's my answer. I was gonna say there's no way you think there's not 1% chance that this is all
a trick? A ruse? Rowan came out and interrupted him. And I actually kind of like this angle of Rowan telling Brian to stop talking because he was sick of hearing him speak. This idea that it's, I've been your loyal follower, just sitting there listening to you run your mouth again and again. It actually reminded me of which Kevin Smith movie it is where Silent Bob snaps and starts like yelling at Jay and putting him down. Like that. this was good. But then Harper came out and man, Rowan and Harper were just attacking Daniel Bryan, just destroying him, destroying the set, everything around the ring. And yeah, this was something, man. Roman Reigns came out to make the save. I think this is setting it up, right? We're going to have Reigns and Daniel Bryan versus Harper and Rowan.
Yeah. You talk about getting Harper and Rowan over. You gave me two other guys on that roster. That's going to, you know, who's more over than Daniel Bryan, mm-hmm. for crying out loud, and Roman Reigns.
It's also kind of, you know, it's also kind of good for Roman. They've handled it well since he's been back. And obviously we've talked about recently keeping him away from the title picture and not running the risk of shoving him down the throats again. Exactly. And so putting him with a guy like Daniel Bryan, who people just, they love the yes chance. They love Daniel Bryan. They find him funny. Even when he's being snarky and demeaning, they find him funny when he's calling the fans fickle. So this is a pretty good pairing. And this will draw a little bit of money, whether it's for SmackDown on Fox or whether it's for a pay-per-view. So
would you not go to the house show even? Would you not go see Daniel Bryan tag with Roman Reigns? I would.
Absolutely. And like Matt said, this is, you can't, next to, I mean, you know what? Next to Brock, yeah. I mean, this is huge for Rowan and Harper. Huge.
Absolutely. And I liked how they went off the air with the announce team being like, "We got to get out of here. It's not safe to be near the ring anymore."
Props to Todd Phillips for taking a bump that he did.
Yeah.
I did like how they went off the air. Actually, I did. That was cool.
So I recommend watching that tonight. If you skip the show, I would watch that. I would watch the opening segment with Brock. I think there was like a solid 5 to 10 minutes of pure highlight.
The girl stuff was good too, I thought.
Yeah. What else is going on in the world of wrestling, Justin?
Well, one story that was out on Wrestling Inc. that's real popular today. You might find it a little bit outdated at the moment, given what we talked about, but This came out earlier today, and it was about Kevin Owens, and at the time that this was posted, this according to PW Insider, that Kevin Owens was not backstage at the time in Atlanta for tonight's show. Obviously, he's there. So the story went with PW Insider went on to say that there is, you know, true speculation that he's going to go to NXT, but they're keeping it quiet. So, you know, now hours later, having seen Owens on SmackDown, like I said earlier when we talked about this topic, maybe this is just supposed to be a swerve to make us more surprised that he does show up on NXT Live tomorrow on USA, or maybe PW Insider just flat out got it wrong. So there's that. I don't know if you guys have any more thoughts on that one.
I think he gets some people to watch tomorrow night, but they haven't really hyped up anything beyond just a handful of matches, right? And even on USA, I mean, Velveteen Dream's going to have a match tomorrow night.
They're going to save it for the battle for AEW, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah, and one of the other big stories we had set aside, and I'm just going to go right out in front and say I don't agree with this, but again, this is a story that we did, you know, put on Wrestling Inc. This is coming from Dave Meltzer and Wrestling Observer Radio, and he's saying that Vince reportedly wanted to bury Cedric Alexander on Sunday's Clash of Champions.
Why?
Well, the speculation, I'm just going to read the story, Matt. Speculation began that when WWE announced Cedric versus the U.S. champion AJ Styles for the Clash kickoff pre-show, rumors continued when AJ won a quick squash over Cedric. Cedric then took a pin from Styles in the six-man match on last night's Raw. It's believed that Cedric was headed for a strong singles push after it was revealed that he had a big supporter in Paul Heyman. It was recently reported that Heyman wanted to push Cedric to the top, but it looks like Vince may have nixed those plans. That's the story. According to Dave Meltzer from Wrestling Observer Radio, it is on Wrestling Inc. I'm just saying my personal opinion. I don't think you occupy so many TV minutes giving a guy TV time if your idea is going to bury him. If you want to bury him, you just keep him out of sight, out of mind. That's just my opinion. Matt,
yes,
I don't know.
It is usually, but there is those that accuse Vince of not thinking that way logically, and that he does. I'm not agreeing with this, but there are those that have said and think Vince will put somebody on TV. Will use up his $1 million per minute, you know, what could be ad rev, okay, to bury somebody. I don't agree with that. I don't think he does, but I'm telling you, I've had other wrestlers that have been there longer than me say that, and I've had others that have worked there say the same thing, that he could be like that. He has done that. I'm like, really? This doesn't make sense, though. Like, he wants the TV, you would think, to make the TV show as good as humanly possible. He wants, you know, those that can help that show be successful, put them in key, you know, components of the show so that show becomes and then ends up being successful in a formulaic way almost. You know what I mean? So why would he waste time in TV minutes doing that just to have a ha-ha at somebody's expense.
Yeah.
From what you guys know about Vince McMahon, do you think he can do that? That he would do that? Have a ha-ha at somebody's expense using his own TV minutes to do it?
Yeah. But I think if it amused Vince, I think he would do it.
I think it's 50-50. I do. I think it's, I could see it, but then I cannot see it, I guess. You know what I mean? Because it logically doesn't make sense. But then we're talking about the illogical and illogical situation. So that's why I'm 50-50 with that. I could see both sides of it.
WWE announced that they're doing Starrcade on the network December 1st again.
With who, NXT or the main roster?
No, doesn't really say. It's going to be in Duluth, Georgia. And yeah, it'll air on the... Actually, will it air on the... Yeah, it'll be streaming live, 1 hour special. So only part of it will. So they're saying we're going to have confirmed Seth Rollins, Kofi Kingston, Becky Lynch, Bayley, Roman Reigns, AJ Styles, Sasha Banks, Charlotte Flair, and Daniel Bryan. It's a lot of wrestling to put into 1 hour.
It is.
Yeah.
What else? That's it?
I think that's it. Big Cass issued a statement today. Let me call it up. Basically, this is going to take some time, seek help, and, you know, it's not over. I mean, I'll get the exact statement. We can read it here together.
I hope everything gets straight with him because he's got a lot of talent.
This is just heartbreaking. This relapse. This incident. This slide backwards, as it were. Let's see. He says, I've been very honest with my past struggles, and it's been an ongoing battle. On Saturday night, I obviously let my demons get the better of me, and I ruined an important night for a really great guy in an unfortunate series of events. I've worked incredibly hard to get where I am, and even harder to overcome my ongoing battle with depression. But I will work my absolute hardest to right the wrongs of Saturday night and apologize to Kevin Matthews, Pat Buck, Joey Janela, the entire WrestlePro locker room, and all parties involved from the bottom of my heart. I'm getting help from family and friends as we speak, and will be getting professional help in the near future, and ask all to please respect my privacy in the meantime. When and if I reemerge as a public figure, it will be in good faith, and I hope to inspire those who struggle with the same mental health issues I do to seek the help they need. If Tyson Fury can do it, so can I. Remember, I ain't dead yet, and neither are you. Peace and love, William Patrick Morrissey III.
That's his real name?
Yeah.
If who could do it, he could, did he say? Who?
Tyson Fury.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yeah. I mean...
We wish him luck, obviously, right?
Yeah, I mean, I feel for the guy and what he's going through. I mean, then this isn't just the type of behavior you were talking about it last night, Matt. I mean, this isn't textbook depression necessarily. I mean, to me, again, just speculating and knowing people that have dealt with this. I mean, we talked about the seizures. He admitted in the interview with Wrestling Inc. that his seizures were brought on by alcohol withdrawals. But I mean, this just sounded like there's something chemical that he needs help with. It sounded like a very out of character experience for him over the weekend.
So was this caused? What happened to him through any type of narcotic or alcohol is my question.
I think the interview on Wrestling Inc. that we published Thursday probably explains the most about his battles with substances. I know he talked about drinking a lot per Raj last night.
Here's the thing that I found when I got sober off of painkillers was I used all the time. I didn't use when I was down in the dumps. I didn't use when I was like, yay, I love life. I used every 4 hour window of every single day for 5 straight years. I never missed a 4 hour window, I swear to Christ, of taking 60 milligrams of hydro or oxycodones. And even Nubane I would take too, which is deadly. I would mainline that if I ever ran out of my Oxycontins or oxycodones or hydrocodones. Moral of the story is I didn't think I used just because I was down in the dumps or I was trying to hide something, you know. Turns out when I did go get help and I did get sober, I was legit. I couldn't figure it out for the life of me while I was using why I was using them other than to be high and love life basically and be high. But it turned out I was hiding things. Like I didn't even know I was hiding them. It took me to go see somebody and then continue to pull and unravel and unravel and unravel and We're talking months where I was ready to retire early and I was never going to wrestle again. It took me 6 to 8 months, guys. The wrestling was out of my world. I was never going to do it again because I knew I couldn't be around the painkillers or people with painkillers because it wasn't outlawed yet. And I couldn't be around them. And it was going to F up my sobriety. But while still going to see somebody, they kept pulling more and more emotionally out of me of why I was using. And there was a multitude of reasons why I would use. I would use, like, when life was going great, I would use it when it was going crappy. I was using it no matter what. I was, like, literally numbing myself from the good stuff, too, which makes no sense when you think about it. Why would you want to numb that?
You know?
But I was. And so, and I was a functioning addict on top of it, which also made it very difficult to really know I had a problem because I thought I was wrestling better, I was lifting better, I was running, everything was better because I was using this stuff in my head, in my warped head. So what's so crazy about this is I hope he is able to see somebody and they're able to pull that string for him, that emotional and mental string for him, and continue to get deep, 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 deep inside his, you know, inner recesses in his head and figure out why he does what he does. And if he's able to figure that out, somebody's able to help him get there, then the road to recovery will start to happen, you know, and then he'll have another shot, I think.
Yeah, I hope so, man.
It's not just staying away from the pill, dude. It's not staying away from the alcohol. It's not staying away from the depression. It's getting inside here and figuring out why you're doing what you're doing.
Yeah, the addiction to a certain point is a symptom, not the disease itself that you need to cure or treat. I guess you never really cure depression, but to treat it and really focus on what's the underlying root issue that's causing you to act out this way, abuse substances, or just even be self-destructive. And, you know, I've known a lot of people. I mean, look, I don't think it gets talked about enough with mental health and depression. But I mean, if you look at suicide rates, depression has like a 20% mortality rate, which is mind-boggling to think about. So I hope anyone out there that's having issues, I mean, look, there are more resources right now for mental health. It is more accessible than it has ever been in the history of man.
It is.
And so I hope people use the resources that are available to them. And more important than that, recognize that, you know, that there is an infrastructure there. There are multiple ways to do this. It's not just about one thing.
There is. And the other thing to make careful of, I know we have other wrestlers that watch this. And those that, let's say, are using on the DL or whatever have you, or whatnot, that are in the independent wrestling companies that can get by and use and not get popped up on a test, let's say, or any person in general that's using. Here's the thing to remember is when you are getting sober, there's a lot of misdiagnoses, Glenn, that end up happening because when you get sober, you have to reteach yourself how to think, taste, hear, all your senses come back slowly. So because of that, you're going to have this ebb and flow of emotional roller coaster rides within like a 5 to 10 minute span. The anxiety goes through the roof. You think you can't get through it. You want to go relapse so you can get back on track. So you think that's why people relapse. That's why they can't make it through, because they're reteaching themselves how to think. And so what ends up happening is a lot of people don't make it through that part. That's why it's so hard. But doctors, shame on them, a lot of times will start to diagnose somebody who just got out of rehab. You cannot go in and catch a diagnosis when you just got through detox because you're not there yet. Your brain's still reteaching itself how to do everything right now. So you're not even who you are at that moment yet. You're still getting there. And I've seen people, my cousin, get misdiagnosed with bipolar. Well, she wasn't bipolar. Of course she would be here one day and up here the next. She just got clean off of the drug she was using. Okay. So to those addicts that do go get clean and sober, do what they tell you to do in your detox and your clinic and in the rehab that you go to. But by the same token, be wary and get an extra opinion when you do you do speak to a doctor once you get out of there. If somebody diagnoses you with something, I would go get a follow-up diagnosis just to be sure, because I've seen them overly diagnose people with bipolarism when they get out of rehab, and you can't, and that's not fair.
No, absolutely. And I think it's a process, because you need to learn to reprocess things, reprocess feelings, reprocess the day. I'm sure for you, it was even a lot about emotions, and this is how I deal with situations. The way you deal with it when you're completely sober is much different than how you deal with things when you're under the influence. So
yeah.
It's tough, man. It's very, very hard, and we wish Big Cass all the best his path to getting right with the demons and the issues that are affecting him. And I feel bad that we're ending two podcasts on such a serious note, not a down note, because I like to
talk about it just, instead of just cheapening it and reading it as a headline so people, yeah. You know what I mean? That's cheap. That's not what we're, you know?
Well, I think that's talking. The thing. Well, we're having a dialogue. And I think part of the thing is that it is such, right now we hear about it. People talk about depression, people talk about mental health, but to really, Matt, and I think your perspective is invaluable, talk about what that really means through the prism of addiction. A lot of people can't understand that. You know, they don't, yeah. For some people it's recreational and they don't understand what a chemical dependency is.
They still don't get it to this day. They don't.
What worked for you? Did you work the steps or did you just go through a rehab program or what really helped you?
I did UNA. I did outpatient treatment. Outpatient treatment for me helped me the most because I'm a structure guy. Meaning if I have structure around me to follow, I'm golden. Without it, I'm a disaster. So, you know, a regimented schedule, all those types of things, it helped me.
And that's probably an issue. I mean, where a lot of wrestlers, this is why it's a recurrent theme, is because, man, especially I know in the WWE, you still have their road schedule, but you're largely your own boss because you're a contractor. But the difference when you go full independent from that, I mean, that's no structure.
Oh, my God. I mean, think about Big Cass, great example. Huge star, WWE. Sky's a limit. I still think Sky's a limit for him.
Yeah.
One day. But at the time, Sky was a limit. He, you know, out of left field from my opinion, gets released a 7-foot giant like that. Are they crazy? And I'm sure, what was he thinking? I know what it felt like for me to be released. I was in an angle with Big Show. I wasn't expecting it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I just wrestled him and Akebono in Japan. Like, who the hell gets that match? It was a semi-main event match. And then some, you know? So to me, that was a shot to me, but I hate to say, luckily, by the time I was still using. So guess what? It didn't matter. I remember laughing at Johnny Ace on the phone.
Wow.
You know, and talking smack to him back. Whereas normally I would be in tears, you know, WWE, my dream job is now crushing in front of my very eyes. You know, I that's how I really would have handled that. And, you know, because it was a big deal to me. Not then, because I was numb to it. But with Big Cass, now he goes out into the wilderness, if you will, after being this huge star in WWE, still thinking he's a big star. And then, you know, there you go.
You know, Tammy's saying in the chat. Yeah, his relationship ended with Carmella around the same time, and he'd been with her for years.
Yeah.
Out of the WWE. I mean, I feel for the guy. It's, you know, it's a tough situation. And I think
we go through a process, Glenn, as well, of we think who we are on TV is who everybody IDs us as. That's a big part of this. And a lot of wrestlers, pills, drugs, alcohol, or not, even without it, and so completely sober to it all, still have huge issues when they go into the real world and they walk around with that, you know, I'm a former WWE superstar, Mike Jones, or whatever the hell the names are. And they need that. They need that identification. They need that validation that they're still somebody. So there's definitely an element to that. I went through it myself.
It's one of the scariest things they experience is when the adrenaline dies down.
Yes. And will they remember you? Do they, you know what I mean? All those kinds of things go through your head.
Let me ask you this, Matt, because you experienced it twice. When you were cut from Tough Enough because of the injury, I remember it was a famous story. Buna Murray Productions did like 3 seasons of The Real World without realizing that, oh, maybe we have to provide therapy for people that were on The Real World after to go from being on TV all the time to not being. Did you have any treatment
on them for doing that? They were part of my Tough Enough season. They didn't give us that. No,
really? No, that's what I was asking. Like, because that's
very lucky. I was in the horn with Jim Ross, like 2 weeks later.
Oh wow!
And all I needed to do was get my knee scoped, get back in shape, and they were gonna give me a tryout. And that was music to my ears. That's all I needed to hear.
Yeah.
So I didn't have to go through that. Thank God, because my eyes were always to use that show to get on. Given, you know, WWE.
Yeah.
So I didn't have to go through that with that show. But WWE in general, when the release came again, I was numb to it because I was high, you know, back after the stuttering character. And they were bringing me back was the saying at the time. I was going to go to Japan for a year and then come back, you know, without the stuttering character was the idea. But then once I started to get sober, he's like, no, you're risking me and my family's finances here of an idea you guys had for me. And I started to get hot about it. And my real emotions were coming out. And you know what? I gave them the opportunity to do this with me. They chose not to take it. They chose to do this other idea. Cornette was on the phone with me all the time, wanting me to go to TNA. They were going to bring me in nice and slow, so I was still getting sober. They wouldn't put, I wouldn't have pressure on me to take bumps, therefore to go take pills, because I was Cornette's bodyguard for like 8 months. It was perfect of what was required from me, and staying away from painkillers because I wasn't in pain because I wasn't bumping. I was talking on the microphone in a suit. It was great. And then when the time came, people wanted to see me wrestle eventually. And it was great. It was a great timing thing for me. And again, the Lord works in mysterious ways. And that's a big part of why I was always so loyal to TNA. WWE came around two times, and then I was not leaving TNA. Yeah. And then finally, the third time, I was already gone from TNA specifically because I was coming back to Royal Rumble 2014. Then my son Jackson was born January 7th, and that was it.
Oh, you could have been here. You could have been here in Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did Nash end up taking your spot?
No, I think Kevin was always going to be in.
Yeah.
I'm sure of it. Kevin Nash is a huge star.
That, you know? Well, yeah. Oh, I'll never forget that. We I don't know. That was a funny week.
Seriously, I was excited. I was really jacked to go back. Yeah, well, and that was game over. Like in the delivery room, I made a text.
Yeah. No, and that's I mean, for some people, that crystallizes it, the process of having children.
I didn't have these coming.
And one thing to make clear, because some people pointed out that Cass had alluded to being depressed while in WWE, that absolutely, it's not just about something bad happens to you and then you can't deal with it. There are people, that's the thing about depression. You could be on top of the world. There are people that are wildly successful that battle with this all the time.
Let me be clear, because I'll pick up on this, because these guys that are talking on the show, unless they've been diagnosed with it, need to calm down, it is no question about it. It is absolutely heightened when you get the carpet yanked from underneath you and you're on top of the world. And yes, he went through depression while his ride was happening in WWE, no question. Now imagine what that would be like without that as a vehicle as well. Are you kidding me? I could see why.
It's tough. I'm glad the stigma, it's better now. It's better now than it was.
Weak about it. Is that why? Well, why was it ever stigma to begin with? I think that's weak, that people would think it was weak. Weak if you don't say nothing about it. You're weak if there's something that's going on with you right now and you don't have the, you know what, to go to a doctor and see what's going on and how can you fix it. In my opinion, that's weak. There's nothing embarrassing about that. I'm not embarrassed because I'm an addict. It's one of my proudest achievements I have. Depression. Embarrassed about that. I'd be proud that I had the, again, you know what, to go get it taken care of and be an example to others, which I know Kaz will go do.
And that's I think the big positive development. I mean, I remember 20 years ago, I mean, when I was going through some things, and you know, everyone has their own journey, but I remember part of it was that it felt very stigmatized. You know, I had friends that wouldn't believe in medication for treating it and give you a hard time about it, or you know, going to therapy was something that was stigmatized for the longest time.
Yep.
You know, and I think we all have our own journeys, but I think that's the key, is that however you choose to deal with it, it's so important to do so, because there is a light at the end of the tunnel and you will come out on the other side.
Even if you don't have anything, I would tell everybody, if you ever get an opportunity to get in front of a therapist, you do it.
Yeah.
I am telling you, the mental and emotional unpacking that you get, you want to talk about a weight off your shoulders, it's insane, guys. It is. I always advise anybody and everybody, no matter what their deal is, try it once, see what it feels like.
It changes your thought process. It's not about going and they tell you anything. It's about you learning how to talk about your own issues and then helping you examine your own issues and come to your own realizations. And if you can learn that process,
It's incredibly myopic, an introspection of yourself. It really is, and it's great. It is.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you, Matt, again, for opening up so much about this. Tomorrow night, NXT, we're all going to be here to talk about NXT on USA. Now, I believe the first hour is broadcast live. The second hour is on the network. So we're going to watch both of those tomorrow.
Yeah, both hours are live. It's just one's on USA, one's on WWE Network. Yeah.
Why?
Because
suits is on.
Yeah, because USA's programming is hitting their finale.
So their very first night, they're totally.
The first 2 weeks, they're 1 hour on USA. The second hour's on the network.
Is there not like stories about this, them being chumped already right off the bat?
Triple H talked about it to us Monday in the conference call, and he just said that it was just because of USA's programming. They will.
This is a great show, by the way.
I feel like Suits has been having its final season for the majority of its run on the air. Like,
such a good show.
Everyone tells me I like it. I haven't watched it yet.
You would love it, especially you.
I love shows about attorneys. So,
Oh my god!
We'll check it out at some point. So tomorrow night we'll see you here after NXT goes off the air on the network, after Suits goes off the air on USA. We'll be live here on the Wrestling Inc. podcast to talk about NXT. It's first night for weekly TV on cable, getting the jump start on AEW. Until then, folks, we'll catch you back here on the Wrestling Inc. podcast. Take care.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.